What, did he run off? Where'd Elvin go?
He left the building.
Elvin has left the building.
This may be disappointing, but before you get to Elvin, you got to get through me first.
No disappointment here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're going to get to Elvin. We were at Jill and I were doing a service at Symphony the other day, a month or so ago. And I was doing the music, leading some singing. And Jill's father-in-law was there too. And at the end of the third song, and we usually do five songs, right? Something like that. At the end of the third song, he stood up and said, "Aren't you going to ask Elvin to preach?" So I said, "Yeah, we're going to get Jill. Aren't you going to get Jill to preach?" In the middle of the singing, right? Yeah, okay. So some people get, some people are a little restless maybe, and you're getting so you want to get to Elvin, but you're going to have to put up with 3 minutes of me, okay? Okay. This is the sharing time. This is the short testimony. Okay. I wrote it down so that because I tend to ramble if I don't write things down. I tend to go on longer than you might want me to. So I wrote it down so I could say what I wanted to say in sort of good time. Okay. I was born 73 years ago. I don't know what's so funny about that. I mean, we're all born, right? Were you laughing when you were born? Okay, let me get through this, please. Okay, I was born in a small city in Holland, the Netherlands. The second of five children. And so I was raised Christian and in the Christian Protestant church. When I was 10 years old, my parents immigrated to Canada from Holland, right here to Red Deer, 1951. And so I had to learn a brand new language, English, and do school in that new language, starting immediately. Except for the very early age, let me tell you something. I was never very good at school. I never, ever got good grades. And I attribute that to the fact that I've never had a really good memory. That's one reason why I write things down. I've never had a good memory. I was being taught well enough, but my retention was faulty. So my test writing was always less than satisfactory. Some of you may experience that too. It's not that I don't know things. I do know things, but I don't always know them when I need to know them, right? Such as at exam writing times. Okay. To this day, I still don't have a clue about algebra. Yeah? Understand that? Okay. And other things pertaining to formal education. Well, I got as far as grade 9 and then went to work as an apprentice carpenter at Templeton Construction here in Red Deer. That was probably mid-50s or something. Up to that point in my life, as long as I can remember, I was always wanted to be a carpenter. Always wanted to be a carpenter. Woodworking had always been my hobby. Even as a young boy, I built all my own toys. Cars, trucks, boats, cranes, even sleds, small sleds, bobsleds, everything. I built it all. I used to go to the Jenkins grocery. How many people remember the Jenkins grocery store downtown? Gertie does, yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Behind the Jenkins grocery store, they always threw their garbage, right? And a lot of their stuff came wrapped in metal bands. And I always used to pick up those metal bands, and that's what I put on the bottom of my sleds that I built, bobsleds, everything. I remember things like that. So things that don't matter, I remember good. Okay, my very early years were during the Second World War. And our small city, like so many cities and towns in Europe, was occupied by the German army. So as young boys, we were often playing war games with our homemade weapons, our rifles, our pistols, our swords, our slingshots, that kind of thing. And now that I think of it, house keys in those days were made of big round, with a big round pin and then a thing at the end. And what we used to do, those big keys were like hollow. And we would take match heads and scrape them off the match and then fill this thing up with the match head stuff. And then we'd take a nail that kind of fit right into that hollow key. And we'd have a string at the nail head and a string at the key head. And then we'd slap it against the like a brick wall. And that would be like our bombs. I don't know. Oh, people smarter than me figured that out. Yeah. Anyhow, I didn't like being a carpenter's helper because, especially in the winter here in Alberta, and that showed up in my work ethic. So after a year and a half, I got fired from my job at house building. Well, I wasn't building. I was just a gopher guy, right? Although I get 1 year in as an apprentice at SAFE. But I got a new job at Northwest Motors at their service station located on Ross Street, right across from the Buffalo, right on that corner of its now transmission shop or muffler shop, something. Yeah, in downtown Radio, tending gas pumps and checking oil and cleaning people's windows and back in the days when there was still service, that kind of thing. Yeah. I made a lot of friends and acquaintances during that time, and some of which carried over for many, many years and into the next job. After 3 years at North Star Service, which was what it was called, my work ethic had improved to the point where I was invited to work at the County of Red Deer by a man who was by the name of Vic Bjorklund. He was head of several departments, including agricultural services and policing. And I did a little better there. I became his helper, and some years later, when he retired, I was appointed by county council to take over his job. And I worked at the county for 16 years, and I loved that job. Problem was, it didn't pay very well. And we were raising a family, and our family was growing, and we either needed more income or less expenses. Well, as you know, less expenses wasn't going to happen. So I needed another job, which paid better money. And as I mentioned, my work ethic had improved somewhat, and it turned out that I had some management skills. Funny how things kind of develop, hey? God is in there kind of stirring the pot and comes out with things. Yeah. Okay. During all this time, let me say here that I did not pay a whole lot of attention to God beyond attending church and youth groups. I mean, that was just a given, right? Even though I served my church community in many ways on an ongoing basis, always have. Do today, always have. But, and even though I did not pay a whole lot of attention to God, as it turned out later, God had been paying a whole lot of attention to me. And that's a whole lot better than me paying attention to God, although it often goes together, right? Okay. During the time that I worked for the county, I found Hilly. Is Hilly here? Is she? Where's Hilly? She's. Okay. I found it, and she was kind enough to accept me as her husband. That all worked out really good. And over the years, we were blessed with 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys. And last week, as some of you know, Hilly and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so in addition to those 4 wonderful children we have, they have given us 13 wonderful grandchildren. And those grandchildren have to date given us 5 great-grandchildren. So we have a large extended family. And we've always been busy with attendances at sporting events, dance events, musical events, graduations, and so there's always something going on in our family that we're either going to or they join us with. Okay. And after, yes, that's good. Those are good things. After Hilly and I were married about 3 years, a co-worker at the county, this is God now, okay? Not the co-worker, but how God works. Upon his retirement, he wanted to move to Victoria. People did that a lot in those days. They moved to B.C., and maybe some still do, move to Victoria. And needing to sell his house in Red Deer, he picked Hilly and I to sell his house to with no down payment, just start making money. We settled on a price, I think $18,000, just start making him monthly payment. Isn't that cool? I mean, we were married about 3 years. We didn't have a dime to our name. And God comes along and just arranges us for us to have our own house. Isn't that true? Oh, yeah. That was the first house we owned, and we've had a few since then. When I started my job with the county, I also got involved with the Red Deer Exhibition Association, now called the Westerner, and over time became a vice president in that association on the board and chairman of the annual fair. Remember the annual fair downtown, some of you maybe? Well, you know, the present exhibition going on at the Western Group. Yeah. Anyhow, I was very involved. After Hilly and I were married for 15 years, we bought Klaus Jewelers in Bower Mall. It's not meant to be a commercial, it's just a fact, right? Bower Mall, Klaus Jewelers. Okay. And I got involved with the Red Deer Chamber of Commerce, where after some time I became the president. But let me tell you something. I mention all that just to show you that God was directing my life all the way. When I was with the Chamber of Commerce and got to be president, they just have a system where, you know, once you become vice president, you end up the next year you're president. Just a system they have, because it wasn't on account of me being so smart. Because I was, most of the time I was way over my head. But I was a likable guy and they put up with me. Some of you may understand that. Okay. Anyhow, being involved with them, I did meet some very good and intelligent people during that time, and some of who I still know and admire today. And being involved with the Exhibition Association also allowed me to rub shoulders with some very prominent and intelligent people who have made great contributions to Red Deer in Central Alberta. And I'm proud to be friends with them even today. And I really enjoyed my time with the exhibition also because I was in charge of hiring grandstand acts back in the days when there was grandstand acts. Now they put the rock bands in the centrium, and we had all kinds of family fun things in those days. And I got to meet a lot of people who were already famous. Some have went on to become famous. People like anybody here remember Gordy Tapp? Yeah, Gordy Tapp, right? The country singer. Yeah, well, I played golf with him. That was cool. Who remembers Pat Boone? Yeah, he's still going. Played golf with him, too. He was a good guy. Yeah. How about the Oak Ridge Boys? Everybody knows the Oak Ridge Boys. Met them before they became famous. We had them here in Red Deer. Yep. Dennis Day. Anybody remember Dennis Day? Yeah, Andy does. Of course. Christine, of course you do. Fun guy to work with. Yep. Or Festus. Who remembers Festus from Gunsmoke? Yeah, he was just a gentleman. He could sing. He used to sing with the Sons of the Pioneers. His name is Ken Curtis. And we had him over for dinner. And on his last day here, we had dinner with him at the Capri. Became a good friend. Not long lasting, because these people go out of your lives again, right? But while they're here, just fun people, good people to be associated with. Okay, remember Dale Evans? Roy Rogers' wife? Yeah, we had her in one Sunday afternoon. Back in those days, we'd have Sunday services at the grandstand in the middle of the fair on Sunday afternoon. It was good things those days, yeah. Okay, and I only mention them again because, God always put us in favorable positions in the community. Now, after we got Klaus Jewelers, I became a goldsmith. No longer dreams of being a carpenter, I became a goldsmith. And that kind of came easy and quite natural because my grandfather on my mother's side, he was a goldsmith in Holland. And since then, one of my grandsons has become a goldsmith. So it's kind of in the genes to be a goldsmith. So that's cool. About 20, 25, and again, like I was saying all that time, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to God, but he was obviously paying a whole lot of attention to me, and that's cool. About 20, 25 years ago, God invited me to get to know him better. And it was his doing. And he compelled me to seek what Jesus and Paul called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. And my life has not been the same since. I wrote a little book about it. Filled and Filled Again. And I've got a couple of extra copies. These are my last copies. If anybody's interested in them, come and pick one up, okay? It's an interesting story about how I found the Holy Spirit in my life, okay? Okay. About 15 years ago, God led me to start writing about him. I do some writing. And I've written several little books about my take on God and his influences on our lives. And a couple of years ago, I started writing a column titled Thought for Today. Started that, and I still write that and go, I send it out to about 60 people on my mailing list. Don's on my mailing list, and some of you. And God just leads and directs that and says what he wants to say. Incidentally, if any of you are interested in being on my mailing list, let me know your email address, and I won't be mad if you don't come and talk to me. But if you want to be on the list and get those emails, cool. Okay. I say all these things again to show that God is indeed in control. God is in control. We may think that we're out of his control. We may think that we're disappointing him. God is in control. It's his world, and he is running it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And he will lead our lives if we let him. And even if we think we're not letting him, he's still getting his will done in our lives. So if we consciously let him in our lives, amazing things start to happen. How many people know that God will get his will done anytime and every time he wants? Amen. He does. He does. He does. If you think you're living outside his will because you think you're bad, you're wrong. You're still inside his will. And that's a good thing to know. Everything that happens is under God's control and his will and his purposes. Once I realized that, then I could trust God with my life each day. Because if God is not in control, if there is some other character in control, who can I trust? If God is not in control, let me tell you something. If God is not in control, he's not God. He has to be in control. And like I said, once I realized that, then I could trust him with my situation in any day. And my life became, you know what, a lot more peaceful and a lot less complicated. It's the complications of, it's our lives that make it complicated, not God's direction in ours. So I love the way God directs my life. I found him, that I can trust him. His promises are sure, and that he actually does reward those who seek him. He does. Some of you know that. He does. Did you know that God has a phone number? Lots of people don't know how to get a hold of God, right? How do you? God, are you there? God has a phone number. It's in the Bible, and even takes texts. You can text God. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? After so many years, our technology today is easier than ever to reach God. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what his phone and email address are, the one and the same thing. And it's found in Jeremiah 3:3:3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And it says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and wonderful things you do not know. Now, is that cool? Yeah, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Now, you need to write that down. You need to look that up in your Bible, and you need to underscore that so you can go to it daily when you can't think of it. And you know what else God promises? Listen to this. For I know the plans I have for you. And then you can put your name there, okay? For I know, God says, the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore, listen to this, and I will restore your fortunes. Who needs their fortune restored? Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 to 14. Look that up when you get home. Or look it up right now. Get that in your Bible and underscore it. And read that from time to time if you start to doubt. Doesn't the promise of God just blow you away, though? Isn't that wonderful? It's really very simple, friends. You want to know God's will for your life? Study the Bible. Seek God's will for you. And I just told you what his phone number is. Just go and talk to him or write to him. And believe it, come what may, and God will be faithful to you. Well, that's my story. My time is up. It's now almost Elvin time. It's just a Reader's Digest version, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Can I? Can I answer any questions, or you got something to add to what I've said? It is a sharing time. Yep. Amen. Jesus said that. Lo, I'm with you always, to the end of the age. To whether that age comes before you die or whether you die before the age comes, doesn't matter. You're included in that, right? Lo, I'm with you always. Good promise. Anything else before we get Elvin up here? Elvin, then come up here, Elvin. Pardon? That's how God is in control. You know, when we retired, we had to make some changes in our lives. And among other things, just remind me of this, we had to sell our motorhome. And we had a motorhome. We've always camped from tents to tent trailers to small holiday trailer to fifth-wheel trailer to motorhome. And we had to sell it. Was it right during the start of the recession? So nobody was buying anything. So we did the same thing. We went to God and said, listen, we need to sell this motorhome. We'll put a price on it, but God, you go ahead and sell it to whoever you want for whatever price they come up with. It doesn't matter to us. Same thing. A week later, someone phones and says, you got a motorhome for sale. Yeah, he says, what do you want for it? And I told him. I said, I can't quite afford that. He says, well, what can you afford? He gave me a figure. He says, that'll work. Because I'd made that promise, right, to God, whatever they come up with, and it worked. Same thing, we sold our house 4 years ago. Same story. Go to God for whatever your need is and say, God, I need this. Get it for me, please. And don't worry about the price. God's, you know, if God makes the decision on your behalf, he also arranges the finances. If you let him, right? So anyhow, it's Alvin time now. Alvin, come up here. Let me just say a word of encouragement about Alvin. Alvin is such a wonderful, there's two of them. Alvin and Kathy are such a blessing in our community.
Down here. You want this down there?
Yeah. Okay, put that down there then. And you want the microphone? You want the extra microphone? You got it already. Okay. Alvin and Kathy are such a blessing in our church community. So we welcome them to our, and we welcome them and we got to turn it on first. Well, they're doing, join me in a word of prayer.
Yes.
Or maybe more than one word, but a prayer for these two here today. Father, we thank you for Alvin and Kathy today. Thank you, Lord, that you've laid it upon their hearts to be a blessing to us. We know that you've already told them what to say. We know you're directing this, but we just thank you, Lord, for them. And we thank you that what they will say will be a blessing to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Yo, am I on? A lot of you guys don't know us from a hill of beans. Amen? You don't know where we come from or whatever. Where are these guys from? And so we just wanted to share, myself and my wife this morning here, just to let you know who we are and how the Lord is working in our hearts and our lives. Amen? So,
hello.
Ow. Man alive.
Hello, hello, hello.
I know what I'll have to do. I'll have to hold it like this. I won't.
I won't. I promise. I don't
know. Okay. Anyway, just want to let you guys know. Originally, for myself and my wife, man, originally I'm from Saskatchewan, born in just a little community. My grandmother was a midwife. Just a small Métis community at the end of the road. So from there we moved to the metropolis of Victor, Saskatchewan, which has a population of 75 people. So we lived there for, since I left in about 69, 70, in that time frame, and went up north to territories, worked up in Pine Point, Northwest Territory for a little while. Worked on a ranch in southern Saskatchewan, Mason Creek area. Came from Red Deer. My brother was here working on the rigs, so I came here because of work. So started working on the rigs, and ended up meeting my wife here through my cousin Lloyd. Some of you people know Lang Thompson. Anyway, my wife's best friend at the time, so we met. And consequently, we got married in 1973 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And she was with child, so we had been sleeping together before the actual marriage. So anyway, we ended up.
The laundry.
Anyway, we got married, and we're married for about 2.5 years in that time frame, and was working the rigs and stuff, and partying a lot. And I was married, and we had a beautiful daughter, and a son was on the way, but I was living a single life, okay? And most of you people know, and that hopefully I'll come to many people know what that means. I was out there carousing around, living for me. And this pastor had come around, a couple pastors had come around, and presented the gospel to us. We were living in 615 Mustang Acres, and they knocked on the door and talked to us about Jesus Christ. So, me being a very religious person, not a grace Catholic, a Catholic school system, and you had your religion, you had your whatever, it didn't matter to you. So, that's the way I viewed Christianity. So, this, he presented the gospel to us, and he listened and prayed a prayer to accept Christ, whatever. But I was still zoned in on living for me. And so they started to come back, you know, and then, but it really touched my wife. My wife was very touched by the lifestyle that I was carrying on. I was drowsing around and stuff. And so her heart was being touched with my heart. His heart was pumping. Just like this guy's a leader. So, but God has a way to get a hold of our hearts. The prideful, I tell you, has a way. So if you're a prideful person, God knows how to get you. I'll tell you that. He'll rock you on your head. Anyway, September 14th, 1975, I physically abused my wife. And I ended up in jail, incarcerated for the night. And next morning when I got out, she let me out. That my wife was leaving. Sure enough, when I got home, she was gone. Kids were gone. Now the reality of that is that I'm going to stop. Went to work in the morning, other managers, and started the job on Thursday. Monday morning, I tried to get some new business questions. What have I done? What have I done? Came home. My mom. She wanted me to come home. You know, sell the trailer, sell everything, come on home. I'm 24 years old. Anyway, so make a long story short, I accepted Christ September 21st, 1975, 7 days later. Christ into my life. Didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was joining this man's church. You know, and Bible just profusely. Man, this is just too good. And more about just making himself good. Amen. And 3 months after that, God spoke to me and got down beside my dad as I soon become a Christian and praying. And so I just started to pray, and God spoke to me. The God who created the whole universe, the one who created the sun, spoke to me, called me by my name. He called me Alvin. He says, I'm going to bring your wife, Kathy, back. He called me by her name. Hallelujah. Faithful, I tell you, and even though it took 5 years, went through a divorce, she divorced me and everything, went through all that. Praise God, we got back together in 1980, and got remarried December 7th, 1980. Hallelujah. All the glory. All the glory. So that's the shorter version, but here's my wife.
But the longer version.
Okay, well. I was born and raised in a military family. My dad was in the Air Force, so we were all over the world, all over Canada. So when I did, we ended up being posted in Winarski Park, which is Springdale or Springbrook or whatever, out in Penhold. And I liked Red Deer, so he ended up being posted back to Winnipeg, and then I ended up coming out here. Met Alvin, as he shared with you guys, and it was a hard 2 years. We were young. How old were we? I was 18 or 19, I'm not sure. Anyways, I met him, we slept together, I got pregnant, and then it was like he was still living that life of partying and carrying on, and so I left and I went home. Winnipeg to my parents' place, and I talked to my parents, and they, you know, we had decided we were going to give the baby away because it was just, I was so young. Anyways, long story short, he came out, we got married, and we went back to Red Deer, and like Alvin shared, it was really rough. He did physically abuse me on two or three different times, and it was just the alcohol, and he just wanted to live that way. Friday night would come, he'd be gone, he'd come home Sunday night, and it happened a lot that way. Money was short because it was being used on alcohol and partying. Anyways, so I did leave him. I went back to my parents' place. I was in really bad shape, physically and mentally, and I lived with my mom and dad. We lived on the Queen Charlotte Islands at the time. And I divorced him. I didn't want to, but I did, because I still had love for him. It just doesn't turn off like a tap. It's always there. So anyways, like Alvin said, 5 years we were apart, divorced, and he just, I forget, he'd phone, and anyways, he said that he had given his heart to Jesus, and I thought, well, good for you. I'm happy for you. But I still didn't trust anything because I was still really, really raw from what had happened. And so anyways, he started coming out to visit me. And at the time, I moved to Lumbee, BC. And he started coming out to visit the kids and then myself. And then we started kind of, he was wooing me. So we kind of started going out together when he'd come out and go for supper and just kind of hang out with the kids and stuff. And I just thought, oh, that's fine, that's good, whatever. And he shared with me, and I thought, well, it's good for him, I'm glad. Because there was a change, right? I could see it, and it stuck. And so then one last time he came out to see me, and he said, what do you think of moving back to Red Deer? Well, his mom and dad were here, and I thought, well, you know, kids would be able to be around their grandparents. I mean, it had nothing to do with them, right? So I thought, sure, I will. So he comes out with the truck, and we pack my stuff up, and we drove back here to Red Deer. And he still had, Alvin still had the trailer, and it was a two-bedroom trailer. So we stuck the kids. So I just stayed there until I thought, I'm just going to stay here until I can get my own place. And we ended up sleeping together. And then I said to him, well, now what? And he goes, well, we'll get married, I guess. And I said, okay. And the thing is, though, up till that point, that was the furthest thing from my mind. And so it just goes to show what God can do. He put those words, like, more I think back on it now, he put those words in my mouth to say, because I was even like, huh? You know, and so, because the love for him, like, hadn't died, so it was still there, right? Anyway, so we did get married. It was in December, and we December 7th, and we got married in a Sunday evening service, and we dedicated our two kids at the time to the Lord at the same time as we got married. They had a little luncheon for us downstairs, collected some money, and my wedding ring with the money we collected. And I had accepted the Lord, because Alvin said, well, we can't, just to backtrack a bit, he said, we can't get married unless you accept the Lord. And I thought, oh, okay, fine, I'll accept the Lord. Well, because I didn't really know a whole lot about it. And so, and even when we got married, it was still like, I knew I had accepted the Lord, but I had no idea what it even really meant. But January in church, they had a sharing time, and I stood up and I just said, and there again, it was the Lord again. Because I do not like speaking. I hate standing up and I hate speaking out in public. But God has different plans, right? So I just stood up and I said, oh, I accepted the Lord. And actually, it was October 5th when I did accept the Lord. And all of a sudden, it was just like a download. It was real. Oh, I've accepted the Lord. Anyway, so it was really good. Plus, I couldn't have any more children. I was medically, it was impossible. And I had two more boys. So we've got four children. We have 10 grandchildren from that. And it's just a beautiful big family. And just want to say that, yeah, God picked us to put us back together. It doesn't mean that it happens to everybody, but he picked us. And it's for a reason. We've been able to speak into other people's lives. We've been able to just together as a couple, just as single, like me to another woman, Alvin to another man, or whatever. And it's not been all up here. It's been like this. And we've had our problems, and there's been some really major, serious stuff. But if you hang in there, you've made the commitment. Just because you don't feel like you love the person anymore, because that's a feeling, you've made that decision before God. And you have to honor that, because he will honor it right back to you. And he will keep your marriage together.
God has done for us, just crazy what he's done, how he's liberated me. I tell you, I was so down in the dump so many times, just, you know, the enemy had me under his foot for many years. God said, to be able to stand up here, you know, I was so full of shyness and shame. I tell you, he put me in front of three people, and I was just a little bit out the door. This is what God has done. And I'm saying to all of you here, all of you, God can do greater things than what he's done for me in your life. You just have to be obedient to him, surrender to him, get him inside your life. If you've never accepted Christ, I tell you, you're missing out. You're missing the boat. Jesus Christ is the answer to life, what this life that we're existing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not religion. It's not religion. Amen? Religion is man's attempt to get to God. That's what religion is. If you follow a bunch of rules and regulations, then you do this, then you'll get to God. Forget it. You ain't going to get anywhere near God. But I tell you, you accept Christ. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Amen? And I'll tell you, it has been the best decision of my entire life. Better than winning 50 million in the Lotto 649. Hallelujah. I've got eternal life. $50 million will not buy you eternal life. Hallelujah. Bill Gates, one of the richest men on the planet, $60 billion worth. If he doesn't have Christ, all that money is for nothing. What shall it profit you to gain a whole world but lose your soul? And this life here, I tell you, this life here is like maybe that long on the scales of eternity, if that. So I tell you, it's just been an awesome. And like my wife said, you know, we've had our ups and downs, and praise God. But you know, we have a source now. Whereas before, my source was when we had troubles, I'd go to drink, you know, and that's how I would deal with my problems, you know. And thank you, Jesus, that I have Him. He has me, and. We have a fellowship of brothers and sisters that will stand with us and support us. Amen. We will be struggling. So I just encourage all of you. You know, Potter's Hands, I tell you, very unique ministry. Very unique. There's not another ministry like this in the city. You know, so I encourage, you know, if you're looking for a church or whatever, man, just, you know, get involved. Get involved. Don't be sitting in the back row there. Sinner's row. I used to be there. I was going to Living Stones Church. That's exactly, I'd sit in the back row all the time. As soon as the pastor was finished, bang, I was out the door and lived for me. Even though I was a Christian, I lived for me. Okay? And I tell you, it's not a good life living for me and still being a Christian, because you want to do this, and you know, I can't do that. I want to do this. You're being pulled, torn. So, my brother here shared part of my message here today, and we were at a service on Friday night in Sylvan Lake, and again, the guy shared some of the message that I feel God has laid upon my heart. And first off, why are you here? Why have you been born for such a time as this? Amen. God is sovereign over the nations of the world. So God, you have a purpose. Every single one of you have a distinct purpose to fulfill. Okay? You're not an accident. You're not, you know, you have a distinct purpose to fulfill. So, that being said, so how do we get that? It's by surrendering to God, giving your life completely, totally, okay? Don't hold anything back. Don't say, well, God, I'm, you know, here's my take. I'm going to serve God by getting my wife back. That's, you know, I was playing, and I think he saw through that. You know, I really do. So, but again, Len shared Jeremiah 29:11. He says, God knows, thinks about you, ponders about you. He has a future for you. Every single one of us here. Amen? So, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, a destiny. You know? So we look at God, and, you know, he's a party pooper, you know, he'll just quench everything. Man, I just want to do this and do that. But forget it, you know. Man, I tell you, in a crowd this size, there's diamonds. You guys see yourselves as diamonds, you know, but you've got a diamond is like a lump of coal first, you know. I tell you, you get squished and squished and squished, you know, diamond. Yeah, all right. There you go. So here you guys. So you guys need you're getting a lot of this, some of you. Right? You're getting squished. And you're wondering why you're going through all the troubles that you're going through. The pressures of life. Amen? But when you draw closer to him, I tell you, some of you don't even know you have giftings in you. There's prophetic giftings, there's pastoral gifts here, there's evangelistic gifts here, there's fivefold ministries here, right here. You know? But unless you give yourself completely to him, wholly to him, you'll never experience the fullness of God's plan. Never. Never. You'll wish. And at the end of the day, you say, oh, if I only had done this. If I only had done this. You know, what if? What if you were to give your whole life this moment completely, unreserved, holding back nothing? What would happen? Well, God might send you to Tukyukta, right? Or maybe Chile or some way, you know, someplace, right? That's right. God will just bless you, and you may not want to go to the Arctic, but God will put it in your heart. Amen? He'll put it there. So, and when you're on this side, oh no, I ain't going to do it because God will ship me out there. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen? As I've just been sharing. It's important, too, once you give your life to Christ, that you get involved, you start, you know, read the Word. Get the Word inside you. Just study it profusely, read it, right from cover to cover, you know. And one of the things, when me and my wife were separated, and I was going through some struggling times of maybe despair and hopelessness, and is this really going to happen, you know, because the enemy would come and test that word that he spoke, you know, because he told me he was going to bring my wife, Kathy, back. So, you know, whether it was a year later or 6 months later, I was reading in Daniel, the book of Daniel. And here's Nebuchadnezzar, this king over Persia, mighty king. And, man, his kingdom was from coast to coast, from north to south, you know. And yet, you know, his heart was filled with pride. And so God humbled him, made that man eat grass for 7 years. 7 years he ate grass, and not the smoking type. Amen? Real grass. Now you tried to live on a diet of that grass for 7 years. You know, his hair was down here, his fingernails were probably curled around a couple of times, toenail, and stuff like this. But he had a way to humble that man. 7 years. He says, now I know this one. He reigns and rules here. Yeah, now he knows. In here, you know. And so that scripture became really alive for me. And when God gave it to me, I said, wow. You know, God's in total control. Like my brother was saying. So that being said, it's easy to say, oh yeah, God's in total control. But we have it up here. But what we needed is here. And a couple of stories I want to share. Me and my wife, when God gave me this revelation that he was in total control, I was thinking, well, you know, he's in total control. He could bring my wife back from the Queen Charlotte Island just like this. Could he not? He could, because he's God. So I started thinking, why is it? Then I asked, and this is a good prayer for all of us, God, is there anything in my heart? Is there anything in my heart that you need to stop it? Well, that's a good prayer. I had murder in my heart. hatred in my heart. I had jealousy in my heart. I thought of ways of killing her that would just take long, a long time. I was thinking because of the pain that I was going through. I would make her, you know, die slow. That's what it was. But God couldn't bring her back to a situation like that. There's no way, you know? And so I believe God can work a lot faster had I surrendered a lot faster and sooner. I needed to surrender. But, you know, but the flesh, it just takes so long. Amen? The flesh is just like, wants to hang on forever and ever. So it took 5 years, but I really believe it could have taken 3 years, you know, and stuff, had I surrendered. Did God just clean me out? And I didn't have a support system. You know, a bunch of partiers, my cousin and stuff, but I had no support system. But Potter's Hands, I tell you, we have an awesome support system. There's so many things that Potter's Hands wants to do to get involved in. We have the Monday night here. We have Monday night prayer, a Bible study at the kitchen. Just a whole bunch of things going on through the week that we can get involved in. And a good support group, good support system. Amen? So I encourage you, you know, if you're going through some struggles, then come on down Monday night, you know, not this Monday night, because we're meeting over at the tent meeting at the north end of the city here. We're involved with the ladies, missionaries from Providence there, so we're going to be meeting there. But come and get involved, you know, stop sitting in the back row, sit in the front row, you know, and I tell you, there's so much that God wants to do in and through you guys' lives. Amen? And some, you know, I wasn't always like this. You know, I was just content just to go to church Sunday morning and do my thing the rest of the week, you know. And ended up living stones for many years. We were involved with the church when they first started up back in 1985. And 55 people there, but it was stone tent. And we got involved with that church and were there. Well, up to about 4 years ago, and we had a semi-split where we had this pastor, a group of us followed the pastor, started Liberty Church. So we were involved with Liberty Church. We were involved with a missions committee, and these ladies, missionary ladies, came in, and we were going to support them. And so being on the mission committee, we had to, you know, make sure that they're preaching the gospel. We just don't throw our money out there to anybody and everybody. So we went up north to Meander River, north of High Level, about 35 minutes out of High Level from here, four men from Red Deer. And the one brother assured us something's going to happen. Something powerful is going to happen. Yeah, the year of Jubilee. So, okay, we'll go. So we went up there, and a little Volkswagen bug type thing, and hallelujah. We get into the worship service and the tent meeting, and they were singing, and a lot of you have heard this story before, and they start singing the same song, and they sung it over for an hour. And it was just like, don't they know any other song? Man, just, so my the flesh was just rebelling against it, because my understanding of worship, and yours probably, is three songs, four songs, announcements, and in the message. Well, there, no, it's 2 hours, 3 hours of worship. And then testimony, and then the Word of God. And I mean, they were going till 3 o'clock in the morning. Still going. So here we are, 2 o'clock, we just like, that's enough. You know, so we went. And so that was Friday, Saturday, same thing. And we were supposed to end up praying for the elderly people from the reserve there. But we never made it because we worshiped so long. So come Sunday night. Okay. Lori says, well, we got to pray for these guys because they're getting upset. They want some prayer. So now we're into worship, 8 o'clock. Okay, come on, guys. We're going to pray. So you group from Red Deer, you four men that from Red Deer, you God squad from Red Deer, you come on up and pray for these guys. Oh, don't know how to pray for people, but anyway, okay, well. So we start praying for these guys, and there's a little guy, he's about 9 years old, and he was just bawling, just tears coming down his face. And but he gets slain in the spirit, one of the elders, he gets slain in the spirit, the granny, man alive, holy smoke, things are happening, but they're still singing and worshiping. So we ended up finished, we sit back, we can just go back in our chairs, and I tell you, the Spirit of God came down upon us. The Spirit, the mighty Holy Ghost just came down like a blanket upon myself and the four of us. And I have not been the same since. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it can happen to you. You have an encounter with God. The mighty Holy Ghost. The mighty Holy Ghost. Okay? The third person of the Trinity. The Holy Ghost. We want to shove him in the back of the bus and keep him over there. But I tell you, you want more power, you want more light, get the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you newer Christians, you know, stay away from that stuff and forget it. If you want more of God, man, just go after him. There's so much more to experience. You know, salvation is just the beginning. He's the door. Man, get through that door and begin to experience the things of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles can take place from you. From you guys. Your prayers are just as effective as my prayers. That's all. You know, nothing great. God has given me that over the years. And I was so reluctant too. The guy, when I first got into praying for people, the guy would ask me, I said, nope. I went to this Bible study. Chadley was there. And for maybe a month, 2 months, James would encourage me to pray for people. I said, no, I can't. I can pray for me. I pray for my wife, but I can't pray for people. But just by his encouragement, and positioning yourself in that place, God, okay, well, I don't know how to pray for Peter, but, oh, God, just bless my brother in Jesus' name. Whatever comes out. And, wow, there, you did it. Oh, yeah, that wasn't too hard. Wow. And so the next Tuesday or whatever, it happened again. And that's how you gain confidence, okay? Your prayers are just effective as my prayers, okay? You got the same Holy Spirit, same Jesus inside you, right? But the thing is, you got to surrender to what he wants to do in and through you. You begin to experience. I tell you, the prophecy that over this city of Red Deer is mind-boggling. It'll blow your socks off. It will blow your socks off, the prophecy over the city of Red Deer. And back when I got saved, back in the 75, there was prophecies already about the city of Red Deer, that a great revival was going to come out of the city of Red Deer, that was going to spread across the nation of Canada and around the world. Little Red Deer, Alberta. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a coming. It's a coming. So position yourself. Get ready. There are so many prophecies. There's a mighty tsunami. If you ever been in a tsunami where the waves are about 60 feet high, and you see that, oh my gosh, you have no place to run. Get ready, you know, and just position yourselves in that way. I tell you, you want to experience things of God. Hallelujah. The other thing, you know, I know I'm rambling, and there's an ultimate aim for all this. Hopefully. But Monday nights, we do a worship here, and we do it with some CDs. I know it might be low-key for some, but I just encourage you how to worship. Train yourself how to worship. Listen to music. You can do it at home, too. Okay, I'm not saying that. You know, not the only place you can worship. But, focus. Put on a CD and listen to some really good music. Get it in your spirit. I tell you, the presence of God will come. And that's what we look forward to, where the presence of God comes, and he's here. Amen? And then he changes you. Like, we could preach 1,000 messages, but if you have one experience with Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be changed forever. Amen? One 10-minute experience with Jesus Christ, I tell you, will change you. Amen? So position yourself. I got down here. God doesn't look for pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, or teachers. but he looked for worship. The God of the whole universe looks for worship. Can you believe that? He doesn't look for prophets or apostles, but he looked for worshipers. I tell you, come Sunday morning service here, don't be looking at Peter or anybody else or Ted or anybody like that. Close your eyes, and focus on the song. Just worship. Enter in. Enter in. And God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to download into your spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I encourage you to do that. My heart's cry is that in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice. We have salvation, okay? That's awesome. That's good. But I tell you, if you want to experience more of God, this here, the answer, okay? This scripture is the apex of Christianity. Doesn't matter where you go. The apex. That's this here, like a Peter Potter. Okay, that's it. Romans 12. You can live your life and not experience the things of God. But if you choose to give and surrender your whole life to God, and this is what happened after that experience up in Meander River, we got involved with Pastor Paul Valley over at Living Stones, and he was having a 40-day fast. And at the end of each service prayer, each night, we'd gather in a big circle. We began to pray, and the Spirit of God just began to pray through me. And I began to pray things like, oh, where's that coming from? That's not me. And stuff. And one of the things that God prayed through me was, Lord, I give you the rest of my life. Whatever life I have left. And, whoa. I don't know about that. But that's what he was praying. And my heart was just, you know, I was reading the obituary column at that time. You know, I still do every now and then. And here guys are checking out. And I was 40, about 47 at that time. Holy smokes, this guy, he checked up. Well, I'm right in amongst them, my age. Man, why? So I had a kind of a semi-vision or something that I maybe conjured up in my mind. I was standing before Jesus Christ, and here he is. At that time, he was very tall. He looked very tall, maybe about there. And I was saying, so give me an account of your life. And I was looking around. Nothing. Couldn't say a word. So from that time, God, whatever life I have left, I give it to you. I do not want to stand before you that on that day and be speaking. I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't we all want to hear those words? Let's be faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know? So Christianity is just not a religion. I tell you, it can be the most exciting life there is to live. Is living for Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So, and for those of you who have never experienced Jesus Christ, it's a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. That simple prayer can change your destiny. You may be on the wide road leads to hell and destruction. And it's 100 million miles wide. And there's many, many souls on that road. But narrow is the path that leads to life. 18 inches wide. 18 inches from here to here. About 18 inches. Believe with your heart. With your heart. You can know about Jesus. I knew about Jesus. I grew up in a Catholicism. Thought about Jesus Christ the whole night. I knew about Jesus Christ. I knew he was the Savior of the world. I knew that. Here. But I didn't know that he could be your Savior. Your personal Savior. So you have to personally invite him in. You have to personally accept Christ. Amen? That's right. So, it's just not a matter of And I'll tell you the difference between mental assent and heart. I'll just give you a little illustration. The great Houdini, who ever heard of him? The great Houdini, okay? He was alive way back, whatever. He was kind of like a magician and so forth, but he'd do some crazy, wild things. Anyway, he's in... He's in Niagara Falls, over there. He's got a big tightrope across from Niagara Falls, okay? And he's walking across that thing. And he makes it. And at one end, now he stops. He's got a wheelbarrow. How many believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across? You're the great Houdini. Absolutely, no problem. You can do it, right? He keeps quizzing that. Yeah, everybody says total agreement, okay? And he focuses on one person. One person, whoever that may be. Okay, you believe that? Oh, yeah, you're the great Houdini, you know? And he's going on. You sure? Absolutely, without a doubt. Okay, he says, jump in. That's the difference between mental assent and heart belief. Jump in. You say he can push it across? Okay, you believe that? There. That's the difference. Okay? So, that's how it's going to happen. Amen? But anyway, that's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. 2013 years ago, this man called Jesus Christ hung on the cross. Hung there for your sins, for mine. Amen? Hallelujah. The gift of God Almighty. God's gift. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, I probably hit a lot of different, you know, places in your life, you know, and but I've encouraged our prayer team to come up, and we're going to pray, and we're going to get our brother Rob back. Worship team. If you have spiritual needs, if you've never met Jesus Christ, and he's just a swear word, and I used his name millions of times, curse. Why the name of Jesus Christ? Why not Buddha? Why not Muhammad? Amen. Why not John Paul III, 456? Why the name of Jesus Christ? Ask yourself this. Why the name of Jesus Christ? Because there is no other name under heaven that man might be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. You can call upon all these other men, religious people that they are. They can't save you. They're just men. But if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, that will make a world of a difference. Your destiny. Your destiny is at stake here this morning. You can walk out of this place, never reach. To return and say, ah, this babbling idiot. Like I thought. Those pastors came to my place. And these guys are whacked out on something. You know? But I tell you, if God has his hand upon you, he has a way. He has a way of grabbing you, turning you upside down, and driving your head into the concrete. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves each and every one of us here so dearly. I tell you, who else has died for your sins? No great need. But God, in his mercy, his great mercy, sent his son, Jesus, to die for us to experience the pain. Right? The separation of your sin. So I encourage you. Could I read? Psalm 42? All of it? It sounds like 119. If you want me to read Psalm 119, I'll turn you down. 42? As the deer pants
for the water brook. So my soul pants, my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember those things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. Oh yeah. And I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Why are you down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I mourn, mourning because of the expression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemy reproaches me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, mighty God. Hallelujah. So, that being said, if anybody needs any prayer, I challenge you. If you've never accepted Christ, here's the opportunity to come. If you need some other spiritual need, you're more than welcome to come up. I've got brother and sisters. I told them to come, and we'll pray for you. We believe God answers prayer. Here's the cry of your heart. Amen? So if you're struggling in an area and you have a great need in your heart, maybe the future or whatever looks kind of gloomy, and you know, here's your opportunity. God calls. God is calling. Amen? He's calling. You know, he's wooing you. Like I wooed my wife. Something I never did. I wooed her. Just go and speak life over her and be nice to her. Amen? God has been nice to you. Come. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mitchell. Hallelujah. Yay.
Who we pray, consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name, Spirit of God, fall in its place, Lord have your way, Lord have your way. Like a rushing wind, clothe us with power from on high. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your prey. Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in. display. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this flame. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with
you are worthy of all my praise.
Oh, Jesus, oh, Holy One, I'd sing to you, Forgiver, Savior, I'm overcome with your great love for me. Yes, Jesus, oh, Holy One, I sing to you, Forgiver, Savior, I'm overcome with your